What's that smell?
Smells like freedom.
Everybody, thank you guys for tuning in. As always, this is Adam. John, unfortunately, was stuck at work today, so he's not able to be on the podcast, but we do have a very special guest, Mr. Dan Alaric from Grunt Style.
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right, Dan, if you could, go ahead and tell us a little bit of history on yourself. I mean, I know that obviously you're an Army veteran and all that, but go ahead and give us a quick little spiel, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure thing. Yep. Like you said, I was an Army veteran, Chicagoland area. Joined the Army in 2000. Did a couple of deployments early on, and then 2000, a few years after that, I became a drill sergeant with the infantry down at Fort Benning, Georgia. Did that for a few years, and then I started Grunt Style.
Okay. Now, what made you want to start Grunt Style? Like, what does that look like where you go from Army Drill Sergeant down at the Benning School for Boys to, you know what, I'm going to start my own t-shirt business. It's going to be the greatest, and we're going to dwarf everybody else that wants to do this.
I got to be honest. I don't care about t-shirts and stuff like that. It was never about t-shirts. It's a way of expressing your pride, you know, in, you know, yourself, military and country. That's all I wanted to do. I think that resonates with a lot of our customers and fans. It's, you know,
absolutely.
Yeah, we're not a fashion company. We're a company full of pride. We're proud of, you know, to be Americans. We're proud of our military, and we're proud of the things that we do. So, and that's really, it was a way to express that. Plus, you know, my family needed to eat, so it was a way to keep that.
That's some pretty good motivation.
This, so it was a way to keep my connection. Show pride and patriotism and share it with everybody else in the country.
And that's what's up. So the beginning part of Grunt Style, kind of in its inception, I remember watching a couple of videos that you put on Facebook about, you know, you were going show to show, sleeping in your car. How stressful was that? And did you stay kind of down at Benning, or did you immediately kind of relocate up to Illinois where Grunt Style's kind of headquartered at?
Sure. So Grunt Style was pretty much down in Fort Benning, Georgia for 2 years. I kind of used that as its base of location. And then I would, take those products and drive it around to wherever I could. And then
I mean, you
back
picked a good name being right outside Benning. You couldn't have picked a better name.
True. It did help. And then after about 2011 or so, I took it back up to Chicagoland, and we just started growing the company from there.
That's what's up. Now, I know originally this might have been kind of a groundbreaking question, but I know the main headquarters is up in Illinois, and you recently relocated down to Texas. Is all of Grunt Style going to be moving down to the San Antonio area, or are you going to kind of run two facilities? What's that look like?
Yeah, so far we're splitting operations. We're moving our marketing and headquarters efforts down to San Antonio. But we still have a contingent up north that's running all of our screen printing operations and our fulfillment operations, as well as customer service.
And I can only imagine the undertaking that is, you know, finding a new facility, getting it staffed up, seeing who wants to move, who doesn't, and just orchestrating all that. That's got to be pretty intense.
It is very stressful, yeah. But, you know, we got a great team. Couldn't be prouder of them. And, you know, a lot, you know, we all rally against around the mission and, you know, go all in.
And that's what's up. Now, what were some of your trial and tribulations at starting your own business to start this America brand? What were some of the trial and tribulations that you ran into in kind of getting the word out and getting all of that going? And what was your support network like?
Well, you know, it's funny because I remember going to a bank and a few other guys looking for a loan, you know, when we're starting up. And you know, all of them are like, well, you don't have any experience. You don't know what you're doing. You have no credits. So you need to go ask your rich uncle. And my rich uncle, my trailer. And I was like, you know, that's not going to work. But, you know, which is But, you know, that actually worked out to our favor. So, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. You know, so to take a loan when you don't know what you're doing is very dangerous. It's like giving
absolutely
a credit card. Of course, it's going to spend it. And then, but it's not going to have much of a shot. It's going to have a few good memories, and that's about it.
Yeah.
So learning, you know, how business works and operates and everything like that. And, you know, it takes years to do it. We're still learning every single day. And, you know, it's, but our willingness to not make the same mistake twice, focus on the mission first, and, you know, support the team around you is crucial to being.
Oh, absolutely. Now, when all this was going on, I remember watching a video that you put on about this one important show, and you'd kind of been in business for a few years. And I believe, if memory serves, you said, like, you know, your wife had said, hey, when are we going to call this quits and move on? Can you tell me a little bit about that? Was that kind of the main make it or break it point? And how did all of that kind of go down?
Oh, I'd love to tell you that story. It was 2012. My wife turns to me and she said, it's time to shut this thing down. You know, we're making 20 grand a month. And so I'm like, okay, that's fine. But we have our first trade show coming up in Vegas. If we can make this work, we can freeze. So then I asked her to come with me and help me with the show. It was just me. I don't have any employees. And so we take the budget airlines to Las Vegas. We take the free shuttle to the hotel. We walk a mile and a half to the nearest grocery store. We buy a loaf of bread and a jar of peanut butter. And that's all we ate for the next 2.5 days. And we just hustled the show. She put on a tight t-shirt and tried to bring everyone back to the table. And I tried to close it. Now we agreed on, if we didn't make $6,000 in the show, we would shut down the business. And we made $6,200, which, sure, it's a win, but it was, I was hoping, you know, a big sign.
Slim win.
Yeah. But it was just enough to be really depressed about keeping the doors open.
Yeah, to be happy that, you know, you made the mark that you set for yourself, but it's like, if there was a, you know, another zero on top of that, we'd be talking.
Yep, that's it. That's true. That was 2000.
Now, moving on from the kind of inception of Grunt Style, and for those of you that haven't checked out Grunt Style, I don't know where you've been living or under what rock you've been, but you should for sure go check it out. I myself and John are both Club Grunt Style members, and I think that whole thing is amazing. But aside from the apparel and all of that, can you tell me a little bit more about America Bourbon? Because I've personally had probably 6 or 7 bottles of it, and it's
awesome.
Amazing. One, and the fact that I can order it online is even better. So how did all that happen? Like, the transition from, hey, you know, we're making apparel and this is great, and transitioning over into making America Bourbon. What did that look like? How are you able to ship it online? And I'm sure that there's some states that probably aren't okay with that. Luckily, I live in the states that are. What's that look like?
Yeah, well, I'll give you the unsexy truth story. And there was we were in Canada checking out some factories to get some things made. We're always trying to get things made in America, and if we can't, Canada's second best choice for us. So we're checking out some Canadian factories, and we run into a Marine vet, and he's been in the liquor industry for 10 years. He's telling us that he's starting his own brand, and we're the perfect, brand to partner with to help promote it and be a part of it. And we looked at the label. It was called America Bourbon. We're like, yeah, sure, that kind of jives with our crowd.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but I said, I got a problem with it. And I'm like, I don't like bourbon. I'm not going to sell something I don't like. And he says, well, he's like, you got to try it. It's really good. He sends us a bottle, and it tastes like bourbon. I didn't like it. So I'm like, I said, I'll tell you what. I said, if you're willing to work with us on the flavor, and it's a flavor that we agree on, we'll go all in. And so we worked on it. It was Tim, my COO, and myself from our team. And then Derek, the Marine vet from his team, we worked on the flavor for about 6 months, which, believe it or not, was a lot of fun. And we came up with something that's absolutely delicious. It's replaced all of my vodka pretty quickly. And
I mean, It's absolutely amazing. And me personally, I'm not generally a liquor straight up individual. I like to mix it, you know, have a little bit of fun. But that's definitely something that I've drank straight up on the rocks, mixed. It mixes in very well. I mean, it's an absolutely delicious liquor. And again, love the fact that I can buy it online.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, we got a great fan base around it. We ship to 38 different states around the country for online, which is great. And we have a number of stores. I mean, we haven't even been out for a year and our, you know, the bottle, we can't keep the bottles on the shelf. So it's just
fantastic. Oh, yeah. So as far as shipping, I don't know if it's too much that you can go into, but how did shipping to all those different states work? Like, did you start off kind of, hey, we stock it here, it's available here? Because I remember seeing kind of the previews for it, and then it was coming, and then it was, boom, I could order it online. And I did, and I'm very happy I did. So how does that look like? How does that look instead of, you know, hey, we're going to be available in these locations and slowly kind of branch out?
Well, Derek, he had a lot of relationships already built from his years in the liquor industry, which is great for us. You know, we're good branding. We're great content creators, marketing, media, branding, et cetera. And we know a thing or two about business. But when it comes to the liquor industry, we don't know. I know it goes down my mouth, and that's about it. So Derek really kind of took that by the and built a small team to go get it into certain stores. So using his years of experience, he's done a great job doing that. And our job is to make sure everyone knows about it, how delicious it tastes and where it's available. And putting those two things together made pretty much a dream team.
That's amazing. So aside from just the America Bourbon, which again is perfectly named, to go along with Grunt Style, it seems like there's a huge shift in trying to get as much, if not all, of your items made here in the States as possible. Is that the ultimate goal, is to have everything that's labeled Grunt Style made here in the USA?
That is the ultimate goal. And again, that's easier said than done. It's going to take a while to get that done.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's only two mills left in the United States. Getting the right equipment that doesn't exist here sometimes is difficult. And then, of course, the expertise. You know, the United States and some of a lot of the textile industry is decades removed from doing it. So there's expertise that we don't have in the country. So it's trying to piece all, you know, it's just like when you're doing a ruck march, it's one step at a time, one foot in front of the other. As long as you're heading in the right direction, you're going to get there. The idea is just to maintain a specific pace.
That's awesome. And that's, I definitely don't disagree with you on that aspect. It seems like there's been a lot of, I mean, whether you want to call it outsourcing, what have you, just industry moving elsewhere. And you don't see too many, at least shirts or apparel, that have that made in the USA tag anymore. And I think it's definitely an interesting mission to go on. I absolutely wish you the best of luck. And I can't wait to see how that all transpires. And if it kind of leads to maybe a reinvigoration of other brands kind of looking, hey, you know, maybe we can outsource, maybe we can buy this and it's a little bit cheaper. But if we take a slight hit in the profits, maybe we can make it here in the USA.
Got it. That's it. I mean, we're able to, we got board shorts out and a button dress shirt, and we're selling it for the same price as, you know, better quality than just about anything else you're going to find out there. So think about it. You know, we're selling a Calvin Klein quality product under a Calvin Klein price, and we're doing it in the United States.
Yeah. And I mean, that seems like it's almost unfeasible, but I, you know, whether there's a conspiracy theorist out there or anything that says, oh, well, it's just all part of this big plan, they don't want anything made in America, the fact that you can do it and you're actively doing it at this moment, it's not just a pipe dream. So you put in the time, nose to the grindstone, whole nine yards, and you're able to do it, shows that, hey, this is a feasible option. I mean, the industries aren't completely dead. They just might need a little bit of CPR.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, most of us who serve in uniform know right off the bat that it's really hard for any government to run some large conspiracy or anything organized. So
yeah, for sure. There's always an LT getting lost somewhere.
You got it. Yep. So Yeah, we're just trying to do our part and contribute to what we think is important, and that's instilling pride in America. And we think we can do it better than any other country, and we're here to prove it. We're doing it every single day.
Oh, absolutely. I personally live in Northeast Florida, right outside Jacksonville. I work at an organization that trains service dogs for post 9/11 vets. And so when I saw that something grunt style was happening up at the Jaguar Stadium, I was pretty intrigued. And it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of information out there or clarity on what's going on. Can you expand on what's going on with the Jaguars and Team Grunt Style?
Absolutely. So we're taking over a whole end of the stadium. You're going to see an 85-foot banner when you're walking into the stadium, and it's just going to be another place for us to party and celebrate and teach others about American pride.
Hell yeah. Now, how long has that been in the works? And if you can, expand on why the Jaguars and not, you know, Dallas Cowboys or any other team in the NFL?
You know, we liked the team was easy to work with, you know, because we're not a typical marketing company. We don't want just to throw our logo around and call it a day. We want to be involved with the fans and make sure that we can do cool and interesting things. And they're very, very fun to work with. Also, we like working with cities that only have one major sports venue. It's easier for us to a more captive audience. So that's a business strategic level.
Makes sense. I'm not complaining, because as the season ramps up, I'm hoping to be able to go up there in person and check it out.
Oh, we'd love it. Yeah, let me know when you're in town. See if we can meet up then. You know, and it's one of the most patriotic cities. It's very, very military friendly. A lot of Navy there, some Air Force, of course. You know, it's a fantastic city to walk around in.
And as much Navy as here, everyone forgets that just a little drive outside of town is a small Army camp. And they still do a lot of training. So there's still a little bit of an Army presence here. We do our best to try and represent as much as we can.
Yep, absolutely.
Now, so you got out, you were a drill sergeant, got out of the Army, and you're like, you know what, we're going to start this brand. We're going to start this business. What advice, you know, and I'm sure there's a plethora of it, could you give to service members who are about to transition out of the military and don't know their elbow from their ass, man? I mean, we all get out and we have these dreams of, oh, well, I'm going to go work here. I'm going to go do this. And I'm going to go be, you know, Fortune 500 CEO. But for the guys that want to get out there, they want to open up their own business. What kind of advice, if you could sit down with Dan, who is just about to transition out, what would you tell yourself to try and make that transition a little bit easier?
Well, I think you would have to recognize it's not going to be easy, and you should be okay with that. If it was easy, it wouldn't be a topic, and it's a big topic, and it's because it's really difficult to do. And I don't care if you were a full-bird colonel, you're walking out there just as prepared as probably some buck sergeant. We get a lot of veterans that come through our doors, and, you know, and I got to be honest with you, officers don't do well. It's hard to, you know, understand why. I mean, they have the extra education, you know, they have a lot of leadership training, but at least in our organization, it's always a struggle, and it's going to be a struggle wherever you go. And that's not to poo-poo on officers. We have some officers here that are very successful. You have to recognize it's going to be difficult and be okay with that. But if you can prioritize what you should be focusing on when you get out, you can be set up for better success. And if you're trying to start your own business or your own company, you need to focus on how fast can you start generating sales. Sales are all that matters if you're starting a company. And right. It's very easy to get caught up into, you know, being busy, making fancy logos, a nice website, I'll get my social media page up and, you know, fancy this and that. But if you don't have sales, none of that matters. And that's the number one thing you got to focus on when you're starting a company.
Yeah. And I mean, even from your own story, it took what, 3+ years for you to really hit that point of, all right, we're a little bit more comfortable. We can breathe a little easier. I think a lot of people nowadays have kind of that instant gratification. Hey, I want to do this and I need it to pay off in a week. And that's just clearly not the case.
Absolutely.
Now, on your site, we also see a link for Enlisted 9. I know Adam Calhoun has a lot of shirts there. I think Officer Baker. What does partnering with Grunt Style and that aspect kind of look like? If I know it's kind of a vague question, so if you need me to expand on it a little bit more, I'll do my best.
Sure. I mean, long story short, is they're great guys. They fill a different void we don't have, which is the whole MMA arena. And, you know, they're other vets just like us. And I think we had a lot in common. So it made sense. We did things that they couldn't. And they do stuff that we weren't doing, which is, you know, they reach the MMA crowd. And we are able to design, produce, and, you know, handle all the logistics on the business end for products. It was just a great, great match. You know, okay. Partnerships are when most people win.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's great seeing that a company that's obviously veteran-focused is willing to kind of give that hand up, not necessarily a handout to other companies that, hey, you know, this is your niche, this is your market. We're obviously established. We can do this. Let's see if we can make this work. And I think that's a huge ordeal is, you know, kind of veterans helping veterans. I think that's so much gets, it feels like there's so much pitting against each other that it's great to see you guys, you know, kind of host the products for Enlisted 9.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, I want to make sure it's a very 50-50 partnership. I mean, they're doing a great job reaching their crowd and audience and making sure that they feed directly into like-minded individuals. Colton's a great guy. Sergeant Major O'Brien does a lot with that as well. You know, it's a great team. I know Megan, part of, I think it's Colton's wife. She's phenomenal. I mean, you just got a great team.
Yeah. And I mean, it's absolutely amazing to see all of that go on and to see kind of how young in the business realm Grunt Style is.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's John from Smells Like Freedom. Right now, you're probably wondering what happened to the audio. Well, that's a great question. So somehow during the interview with Adam and Dan, connection was dropped and it was unable to be reestablished. So we hope to get him back on the show perhaps in the future to tie up some loose ends, but we will go ahead and throw up a little bit of a transcript as to what was being talked about and discussed at the time of the dropout in the audio. So unfortunately, we got, you know, roughly 20 or so minutes of that, but hopefully it was enough to kind of wet your beaks, if you will, and then tune in next time.